I'm Craig Wilson.
And I'm Duncan McLeod.
This is Talk Central episode 90 for Sunday, 4 August 2013.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter at Tech Central,
on Google Plus at Plus Tech Central,
and on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about MultiChoice's new PVR, the Explorer, Telkom Mobile and Cell C, and why a deal doesn't look likely, where to now for termination rates, and the licensing of new pay TV operators.
As always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Craig and I will pick our product or app of the week.
That's right, but first, we need to pay the bills. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tired of no internet connection, no line availability, no signal? Then say yah. Say yah to cutting-edge technology. Say yah to satellite internet access. Say yah to high speed. Say yah to always on. Say yah to reliable. Say yah to affordable. Say yah to quick installation. Say yah to YahClick satellite internet access. And you could be saying yah to free hardware and installation. YahClick, available from Vox Telecom and Atlantic. SMS your name to 48484 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to Talk Central. I'm Duncan McLeod. How's it, Craig?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you, Duncan.
Great. Well, we're recording in a slightly different venue today. We're sitting outside in the beautiful winter sunshine. You can probably hear the birds chirping in the background.
It's pretty lovely.
Makes a bit of a change from sitting in the office to record this.
It does, yeah.
Anyway, let's kick straight into it. I think the big news this week was had to have been the launch by MultiChoice of its new DStv PVR called the DStv Explorer.
Absolutely, and I think the amazing thing about this is you were saying in that they've been developing this for 3 years.
Well, they first started looking at ideas for their next decoder. I think Gerdus van Eerden, the CTO of MultiChoice, told me in around the first quarter of 2010. So it's been in the works for a long time. Mm. What's really interesting is, and I had a very detailed sit down interview with Gerdus van Eerden, who's the MultiChoice chief technology officer, and with the CEO of a company called DStv Online, which is another MultiChoice company that has developed a number of was really focused on the internet side of pay television, and has developed products such as Catch Up and Box Office.
Right.
Very interesting discussion. These two men were really behind drove the development of this new PVR, and from the start they really wanted the Explorer to be an internet connected box that offered the full range of video on demand services online, as opposed to delivering it over satellite, which has been the approach in the past. And they, back in 2010, their view, Gerdus told me, was that by the time they launched it around now, the fixed line industry in South Africa, the fixed line market in South Africa, would have improved to such an extent where it would have become feasible, at least at the top end of the market, to offer this internet-based VOD.
Sure, it's very, very telling that the internet simply hasn't gotten to that level.
Yes, indeed. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. We have seen development in the fixed line market, but not to the sort of extent that they felt comfortable right now launching an internet-based PVR. So what they've decided to do instead is to use satellite again. You know, they've got this new satellite that they're leasing a huge amount of capacity on, called Intelsat 20. I think they went live with that satellite last year, if I'm not mistaken. They've got a massive amount of capacity on there, which has allowed them to introduce new HD channels, etc. What they're doing is they're using most of a transponder on that satellite now for satellite-based VOD. Mm. And in the new Explorer PVR, they've included a 2 terabyte hard drive, which is 4 times the size of the hard drive that was found in the previous HD PVR.
Sure.
So we're looking at doubling. They've effectively doubled the amount of personal recording space that subscribers have, and five times as much space for VOD.
But it's a clever move. You can see what they're doing is preempting the move to internet streaming services that, you know, only really the high end South African user is currently finding ways to make work in
and
this
people,
region.
People are starting to use it. I see on Twitter people tweeting about, wow, did you see that thing on Netflix the other day?
Sure. It's actually becoming more common. Yeah. And DStv clearly realizes that once the floodgates to that open, it's the least of its concern is who Icasa gives another pay TV license to. And the real problem is going to be other service on the planet that you can get over the internet.
Certainly in that LSM 9 and 10 market where they, at the premium end, their premium bouquet, say is
where they make the most money.
Where they make the most money and where the challenge is going to come to them is not, as you say, not from local pay TV operators, which really see the opportunity, the market opportunity here being going after the lower LSM market. But at that high end of the market, they're actually going to get competition from those international players. And it's only a matter of time until Netflix or Apple or one of the other players in the space, Google or Microsoft,
deigns to launch a South African version.
Exactly.
Yeah,
has to happen eventually.
Absolutely.
But what's clever is that they're able to, as John said to me, they're able to they're able to bring sort of a first world product type of experience to their subscribers without the need for the internet. You don't need the internet at all to use this product, and you can see that they've really taken some design cues from things like Apple TV and these service sort of services,
particularly in the menus and the layout. Right?
Exactly. I mean
the interface.
Got rid of lists of movies, or not entirely. They're still there in some places, but if you're browsing through your VOD content, your catch up content, or box office or whatever, it's more like movie poster images. They use images rather than long lists of text. So it's a lot more much more appealing interface. They've also integrated search in a lot more detail, a lot better into the thing. So it's really about content discovery. So if you're looking for something specific, you can find it pretty quickly. They've done a good job there. I think there's a couple of areas where they could probably improve, and I think we'll go cover those in some detail in a proper review of the Explorer, which we hope to do in the next week or two. But it's looking good. And what's interesting is we were talking about internet-based VOD. They're planning from next year to allow you to plug in they'll sell the dongle. It'll be a wireless dongle.
Right, right.
That connects either to the 3G or 4G network or to a Wi-Fi connection. They're planning to introduce that sometime in 2014. The box also has an Ethernet port, which I believe is disabled at the moment, which will allow you to plug in your DSL line correctly. Directly. Not correctly, directly. And there's also something called a Mocha coax port at the back. If you're interested in reading more about that, search.
So it plugs into your coffee machine.
Search for MOCA. search the web for that, and look for the Mocha Alliance. And it's an interesting. I haven't got my head quite around it yet, but it's an interesting way of using coaxial cabling for home networking. And Gerdes was punting that specifically in my interview. So we'll have a look at that Mocha Alliance stuff in some more detail. But there's plenty online at the moment. They're going to make this an online box down the line. So they've kind of future proofed it.
Sure. And there's the ability to push sort of software updates to it and all that sort of thing to it. But the amazing thing is really putting all of this content. Pushing it down via satellite, I believe it takes many hours for the new device to sort of sync.
It does. It actually takes more than 24 hours, I've noticed. I think a lot of the content comes down in the first 3 or 4 hours, but to get the full panoply, if you like, of content, it takes more than a day. I was actually chatting to some DSTV technicians the other day, and they're saying the current VOD content that they're pushing out onto the devices is 800 gigabytes, all of it in high definition.
Right, and all pushed over satellite.
It
is a really inventive solution, I think, to trying to work around some of the technical challenges that this market presents.
Yeah.
And it also, of course, at the same time, does entrench multi-choice even further,
of course,
on their position. But I feel they can't really be blamed for
doing
their job well.
Exactly. As I said, we had a very detailed interview on the sort of development of the decoder, what the thinking was behind it, and tons of pictures, etc., up on Tech Central. So go take a look at that, and I think we should move on to the next story.
And the next story, this is one from this morning, from Friday morning, was it? You had a chat to Attila Vittai from Telkom Mobile about their plans.
That's right. I had an interview with Attila Vittai, who's the MD of Telkom Mobile, and I specifically asked him about, there've been rumours about potential deal down the line between Cell C and Telkom Mobile. Certainly, we've seen Alan Knott Craig, to some extent, hyping that up and suggesting...
Sure, at least alluding to it.
Suggesting in a recent radio interview with Stephen Gretis of 702 that he'd raised the idea of consolidation with Telkom. But Telkom Mobile's MD today, kind of pouring cold water on that, although stating that this is his personal view and not the view of of the Telkom group, so hedging his bets a little bit, but basically saying he didn't feel that a deal would make sense for Telkom. He felt it would make a lot more sense for Cell C. He suggested that Cell C shareholders are trying to exit and they're looking for a buyer. Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure, but he certainly implied that it would make more sense for Cell C for a deal like this than for Telkom Mobile. And I see where he's coming from. There's that famous phrase, two turkeys do not make an eagle. may very well apply in this case.
Right.
It's tough out there, and it's difficult to see how long term Telkom Mobile and Cell C are really going to be able to build a profitable business in this country, given the dominance of MTN and Vodacom. Not Craig argues, obviously, that there needs to be aggressive asymmetry in termination rates to favour the smaller players. Interestingly, my chat with Attila Vatai this morning, he wasn't quite as aggressive about, he wasn't quite as demanding in terms of asymmetry. He suggested that, yeah, we should have asymmetry for a year or two, but after that it should simply be phased out because we'll have the benefits. What he is pushing for, is a dramatic cut in termination rates. Mobile termination rates, of course, are the inter-network calls, wholesale charges between the operators, and he's pushing for that rate to be cut immediately from 40 cents a minute to 20 cents a minute, and then further cuts beyond that. But he's suggesting, no, ICASA, please don't think of a slow glide path of 5 or 10% a year. Let's impose a big cut now because that'll help the smaller players. There's no point in beating about the bush and doing a glide path again like has happened over the last few years.
And I think there's a lot of sense in that line of argument, even if it's not coming from, you know, granted here it's coming from Cell C or from Telkom Mobile, and they have a vested interest. But regardless, I mean, we've seen that termination rates do bring down prices. And we've also seen research, at least some research from the likes of Alison Guildward's ICT Research Africa, suggesting that in a lot of markets where termination rates have been cut, prices have plummeted, but revenues haven't tumbled accordingly because usage has gone up so much.
Yes.
I mean, there is this suggestion in a lot of markets that if you bring the price lower, people make more calls. And particularly in the case of the big networks where their infrastructure is already, you know, largely set up, getting more traffic over it. Of course, I guess for some of the big networks, more traffic could be a problem in terms of the service quality we've seen already. But I think there are just all sorts of good reasons for cutting termination rates. If nothing else, also just to save face. You know, it's becoming an increasing point of contention and somewhat embarrassing fact that we are, you know, so expensive compared to our neighbours.
Yes, indeed.
And particularly as the first market to really have proper mobile services.
Yeah.
You would think we'd be further ahead by now and we would have pulled prices down.
I think the glide path made sense over the initial period because it was coming from such a high level and because of the impact that these cuts have on the market. I think the operators do need time to adjust their business models for the cuts in termination rates. I mean, they came down from peak times from 1.25 a minute to 40 cents over a period of 4 years. So that's
substantial.
That's substantial. You could argue that a 50% cut is huge, but because we're trending towards zero, will it really have that big an impact in absolute terms? 40 cents to 20 cents seems like a lot less than a cut of 1.25 to say 87 or whatever it was in the initial glide path step. And it's an interesting one. And ICASA is going to have to make a decision quite soon on this whole issue. I guess they're going to have public hearings and stuff. But they've promised that this financial year we'll know by March next year whether the termination rates are coming down again, which I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. There's so much pressure from so many fronts.
Yeah, indeed. It's going to be very interesting. By the way, just before we carry on, it's going to be very interesting to see the arguments that MTN and Vodacom put forward in this set of hearings because it's going to be quite tough for them to argue.
Well, most of the existing arguments have been largely
debunked.
Yeah, yeah. Particularly the one about investing in infrastructure and revenue.
Exactly, and they said specifically that they wouldn't... That cutting at termination rates wouldn't necessarily, that there wasn't a direct causal link between cutting termination rates and retail rates.
And that's been wholly debunked.
What we've seen is that there is a direct correlation.
Absolutely.
Anyway, the last story I think we need to touch on this week is, Craig, you sat through them for your sins through several days of ICASA hearings on the licensing of new pay television services in South Africa. Obviously, we went through this process 5 or 6 years ago and we licensed 5 new satellite pay TV operators, only one of which got off the ground and it's not doing very well.
And has been limping.
Top TV. What's different this time around?
Well, this is the good question, is in many ways, I think a lot of people are thinking not very much. There are the players are quite interesting. There's quite a cross-section looking to do sort of quite different offerings too. On the one hand, you've got Mobile TV, who's looking to do, as the name suggests, mobile television based on the Korean DMB standard. And this is really sort of pocket-held devices or on mobile phones and tablets, streaming of television content. There's another suggestion of there's an educational body who's already producing content, education content for TV. They're saying that this is insufficient, particularly given how important education is in South Africa, and so they're looking to get a license too and expand their offerings. But their concerns there about how they'll actually make money, because one of the stipulations for any of these new licensees is that they need to make the bulk of their revenue from subscription and not from advertising. And in the education model's case, the subscriptions are meant to be nominal, because obviously the idea is to get it to as many people as possible. So there are queries about whether or not they'll be able to raise sufficient revenue from subs alone to actually meet that requirement that it outstrip advertising. There's also, of course, Kagiso Media, who
I think is really serious.
Here. I was going to say, I think they're really the ones with the best bet and the strongest bid, insofar as they seem to have the most sort of well-rounded and well-thought-out business plan. And they also seem to have the best sort of tools to do it. You know, they're already invested.
They're a big media company. I mean,
exactly.
They own radio stations. They own internet properties. They own a digital ad agency.
And that's it. There's the suggestion that they understand the media landscape in a way that I'm not sure the other applicants all do. One of the fourth applicant, I think, was particularly interesting. I'm just trying to remember the name.
Yeah.
It'll hopefully come to me. Yeah, I think it was CIA. I wasn't thinking of CIA actually, but yes, there's them as well. There's a group who are looking to broadcast. Their sort of angle is broadcasting for the lesbian, gay, transgender.
Close TV.
That's one. Close TV. And again, you know, it's interesting. I think they win some points for thinking out of the box and looking for novel sort of content that may cater to an audience that hasn't previously been catered to. But I'm curious as to how big this potential audience actually is. They claimed a few million. I fear that's not the case. I also wonder, you know, whether there are enough people in the right sort of bracket economically for this, because a lot of these services, as you mentioned earlier, are targeting the lower to middle LSMs, and a lot of what Close seems to be offering sounds very much like it would target the top LSMs, and I'm not sure that they're the market who are really going to go for it.
Art movies and
House films and this sort of thing, which we've seen even in, you know, high-end malls have struggled to survive.
And you can get that on DSTV really through the I think it's called the Drama and Art channel, movie channel.
Well, of course, DSTV would tell you can get everything any of the newcomers are going to offer through them already. But this process, unfortunately, is going to drag on for some time yet.
What's interesting, I think, about this process compared to the last one is that some of these operators are applying for access, and Kagiso is one of them, to terrestrial spectrum. This is for the licensing process for digital television, digital pay television, and I think that maybe give them may make things a little more interesting than last time around. Just because there is no competition in the pay television terrestrial market. I mean, the only player there is Mnet, the Mnet terrestrial channel.
Yes.
And very few people still subscribe to that, because MultiChoice has been very aggressive in moving the terrestrial Mnet base onto DSTV.
Sure. Even my mother finally gave up her Mnet last year for DSTV.
Right. I mean, it's only a few. I mean, I think it could even be under 100,000 subscribers on the Mnet terrestrial
service.
From millions years ago. So
it's the other interesting split. Of course, we have some of these people who are looking to use DTT as the platform, and some people are looking to use satellite.
Yeah.
And that, I think, changes things a lot too. As you said, CIO was an interesting one, because they are looking in particular to broadcast a lot of football content. And this one obviously is in response to what we've seen out of Top TV, which has been that if you don't have rights to sports, you're going to have a very hard time attracting an audience.
Sure.
And so CIO is confident they can do this, particularly because they've locked up some exclusive content from the it's a Southern African Football Association, whatever it's called, something along those lines. And they said that there's content from a new league that's being formed that they would have seemingly exclusively. But again, this is a case of you can have some of the content, but is it going to be enough? You know, I mean, it seems like the really big sellers for MultiChoice are the local football league and, of course, the English Premier League. In addition to things like UEFA and the European ones, but it seems that those really, the local matches and the English matches are the really big draw cards, and I think that those are the rights people need to chase most aggressively.
What is the rights at CI? I said they had tied up. It's Confed Cup.
It's Confed Cup. That's right. Yeah.
And I don't know how big that is.
A lot of regional football, which certainly is better than none at all, but. It remains to be seen whether this will actually be enough.
Yeah.
Particularly for the serious fans who want to watch everything.
Yeah. Anyway, really, really interesting developments. I've actually written my column in the Sunday Times this week about the broadcasting industry, so take a look at that. I think this is just from being such a quiet space for so many years where very little was happening. I think suddenly everything's exploding. I think it's fantastic news.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's in the Sunday Times this week if you're keen to read about that. Obviously also on Tech Central later on Sunday. Craig, I think that's the news for this week. Let's move on to our winner and loser of the week. Our winner is an obvious one, and we're going to pick multi-choice because of its new PVR, which we think is fantastic. And our moving right along, our loser of the week is unfortunately another broadcaster, and that's the SABC for their botched launch of their 24-hour news channel on Thursday evening. I was watching it live, channel 404. Geeks Among Us will find some humor in that. I wonder if anyone at MultiChoice saw the humor in that when they decided to give them channel 404. But they really made a mess of it. They started with a sort of presentations, as you'd sort of thing you'd expect from the SABC, Zuma there, and the Minister of Communications. I thought a very good speech, actually. We had the controversial Claudia Motsoeng, the chief operating officer of the SABC, giving a presentation, anyway, it was a sort of politically correct sort of presentation and stuff that you'd expect a public broadcaster to do. They then cut away, I think it was at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, I can't remember which it was, they cut away to the launch of the service, and within the first minute or two they made a complete mess of it by thinking they were still on the dry run and not realizing they were live on air. The two presenters saying to each other, "Well, how was that? No, I think we need to. I think I need to read that headline." And, to cut a long story short, this went on for must have been about 30, 40 seconds of very painful and embarrassing television watching, and then they cut away to a test pattern with that beeping sound behind it, that constant beeping sound, and then that stayed on the screen for it must have been at least 10 or 15 seconds, after which they then cut away to promo material for the new SABC channel, which was then on repeat for it must have been 20 minutes. Obviously, while there was absolute chaos going on in the background, trying to figure out how to get the thing back on track and back on air, eventually they must have decided that they couldn't do this. So they then cut back to a recording of the hour long launch event with the president and the communications minister, which they then rebroadcast, I think, in full. By which time I was too tired to carry on watching, so I went to bed. So I'm not sure what happened after that. But when I switched on my TV this morning and took a look at channel 404, they seem to have overcome their gremlins.
Right.
But if you're going to launch a new service, really, I think that you need to do a lot more planning than they clearly did before they went live.
Well, particularly when you invite the president.
Indeed. Anyway. All right, let me jump in with our app pick of the week. I've got quite a cool one. It's called CopyTrans Control Center. CopyTrans, one word, followed by Control Center, and Center spelt in the American way. It's a very lifty little piece of software for Windows that's finally allowed me to get rid of what has to be one of the most atrociously written pieces of software in the history of mankind, Apple's iTunes for Windows. The Mac version's okay. The Windows version is a disaster.
I'm glad to see you feel strongly about it.
Yes. I hate it. I hate iTunes. Anyway, I finally managed to get rid of it out of my life. I use an iPod. I use my iPod it syncs with my car. I finally found an application that will take control of my iPod and allow me to sync the music I want to sync through lists, easy management of my music. It does nothing else. It doesn't offer you movies to download and the iTunes store and all the rest of it, which I really don't want. It just gives me a very basic interface, basic but robust interface to sync my music from my PC to my iPod. And it's called CopyTrans Control Center, and if you're an iTunes for Windows hater like I am, go and download it.
Fair enough. My pick this week is a little comes with less sort of vitriol attached. Mine's a plugin for Chrome, and it's called OneFeed. And what it's looking to assist with is, you know, when you open Chrome, the sort of bare-bone screen that you're greeted with is rather boring. It's sort of 8 tabs of previous things you've had open, or you can set it to show you the apps you've already got installed or the plugins you've already got installed in Chrome. But OneFeed jazzes it up a little bit, still shows you the 8 recently visited sites, but then also pulls in a number of news feeds from various places. You can obviously customize all of these. You can tie in RSS and so on. So I like it that now when I open Chrome, I get a summary of the tech news on an empty browser every time I open a new tab. And it also ties into your social network. So if you've got Facebook messages or Twitter messages or new emails or similar, if you're a Gmail user, it'll pull up little icons in the corner and tell you this. So I just find, like, when I first open Chrome, it gives makes me feel like I'm being useful a little bit more quickly. It's obviously a free plugin, like most of the Chrome ones are, and it's called OneFeed.
Cool. Oh, I forgot to mention that CopyTrans Control Center is also free, completely free of charge, which is great. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can send us an email at info@techcentral.co.za, or you can leave a comment after the post. Until next week, from Craig and myself, have a good weekend. Cheers.